Hello, welcome back to Camp Half Pod. We are your head counselors. I'm Erin, daughter of Athena.
And I'm Manasa, daughter of Persephone. This week, we are putting the god Apollo on trial for the many crimes that he has committed. So yes. We wanted to talk about a little bit the structure of this episode because it's not our usual episode. We are going to
usually put gods on trial.
But we should. We should do it more often. And I think there should actually be punishments for them.
Yeah.
So the way that this is going to work is we're basically going to be playing our own version of speech and debate. With a pro and con, and so we have a prosecutor who will be decided by a coin toss, and our defense. Now, okay, Erin and I were discussing our defense, because some of these crimes are rough, man. We could all just start here and say we have bias, and Apollo should go to jail for many of the crimes that he has committed. So the defense is going to be leaning on completely stupid, facts and things that are actually not very true. Maybe even just like trying to distract.
What is that called? Like a straw man argument? I don't actually really know what that means. I just know that people, like, whenever people have stupid arguments, they're called a straw man argument. I'm exposing myself of, like, not knowing things anymore.
Well, I think that's a good idea, because then we also want to, like, make it very apparent that a lot of the things we will be saying in Apollo's defense is also satire, like things that you would normally hear lawyers and the media try to say in a defense of somebody who is, you know, fully committed a crime, especially men in power.
Yeah.
And trying to excuse their really egregious behavior.
Yeah.
Some of these, though, I will say, may not entirely be Apollo's fault. So it's going to be very interesting to see what we come up with. Yeah.
Yeah. I did find an example of a straw man argument, and I still don't, it's essentially like, it means refuting an argument by mischaracterizing it. So it's like if someone says, I think we should lower sentences for drug offenses, and someone else says, so you think children should be doing drugs? Like, it's when you refute the argument with, like, something that doesn't actually, like, it's not the point.
And that, I think, is what our defense will rely on heavily.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of stuff you cannot defend Apollo for.
It's what a lot of the United States government relies on anyway. So I think that it's not too much a stretch.
So today, today, this is why they think we're so old, is because we keep bringing politics into it.
We're bringing up politics. Any of our listeners are like
railing on the government. I know.
Yeah.
So we are your two lawyers. We are going to have about
really qualified,
super qualified. We definitely passed the bar. There's about five sections, I believe, 5 to 6 sections that we're going to go through. For each section, we're going to talk about the myth. I'm going to give a little spiel. I did a little bit of research, so I'm going to give you the myth in story format so you guys can have all the information. And then we're going to flip a coin where Erin is tails and Manasa is his head. So whoever is going to be flipping and whoever it lands on will have to be the defense.
Do you normally pick heads, or is it because I picked tails?
It's because you picked tails. There's no other options. I usually pick tails, actually.
Okay, same. We're tails girlies.
I feel like there was like someone. Like other girls. No, everyone picks tails.
I feel like heads is what like men pick. You know?
I feel like men also pick tails. I remember being in like middle school or high school and everyone telling us like actually heads, I mean tails is more likely to come up than heads because it's like a 0.0001. It's not true. Because that's not how statistics works. But, like, I think we leaned into it. Like, someone saw a meme on the internet or started a prosperous rumor and just went with it. And now all of us choose tails. If you normally choose heads, I would like to know because I'm very curious.
Yeah.
If
that I'll put out a lightning bolt question. Yeah. What's your go-to?
All right. So back to
real topics.
I know. This is how the trial's going to go. We're going to be Paul's going to be up for murder and we're going to be talking about, you know, coins. Yeah. So we're going to get about a minute. We're just going to go at it. And then at the end, we're going to each get a minute for closing arguments. Prosecutor's going to go first and the defense is going to go second. Again, these crimes are super slimy, so the defense can bring up random topics. Straw man arguments are very much okay. The prosecutor is allowed to rip them to shreds for saying it, but I think that it's hard to defend some of these. So it'll be pretty fun.
This is going to be interesting because I was telling you I feel like I'm not as funny on the fly, which you disagreed with, which I appreciate. I just think that I really rely on my outline, even though half of what I say when we do these podcasts is off script. I just like having the outline. It's like a blanket for me. And so this will be interesting. I'll either succeed, I'll fly, or I will not know how to speak.
Fall. Yeah.
I'll fall.
I think you're a lot funnier on the fly than you think. Some of the things that you said, just, you know, offhand. I think it's when you do your dry humor that gets me the best. Oh. So I'm very excited so to see what comes up with it. You're so welcome. All right. So the first... Are you ready? Are you writing things down?
Yeah, I'm trying to get paper so I can take notes. Yes!
Girl.
I can't find a clipboard. I take debates really seriously. I used to, whenever I had to do it, like I had a college class on policy that I took and I freaking nailed that. The other group had no chance against my group. It wasn't just me, but like, if anyone wants to debate the legality of prostitution with me, I can really get in that one.
Well, maybe we'll get into it. So who
maybe
knows
it'll come up.
All right, are you ready? You have your notes?
Yeah.
Our first section. Apollo is on trial for his crimes against women. All right, first up, we have Daphne. So buckle up. Let's talk about Daphne. Okay. Daphne was a naiad who got caught in the middle of a feud between Apollo and Cupid. Apollo insulted Cupid's archery skills, so in revenge, Cupid shot Apollo with his gold-tipped arrow and Daphne with a leaden-tipped arrow. This caused Apollo to become obsessed with Daphne and Daphne to flee from Apollo anytime he came near her. Apollo tries to cure himself of this, but even his medicinal herbs.
We're British now. You have to keep doing the accent now.
Oh, God, it's awful. Okay. Apollo tries to cure himself of this, but even his medicinal herbs can't save him. He continuously chases Daphne until he finally catches her. Daphne prays to her father, who is the river god, and he changes her into a laurel tree. This does not stop Apollo from being in love with her. So, as he calls her his bride, he takes the laurel tree and wears it as a crown for the rest of time. Now, there are other versions of this myth. All of them, though, involve Apollo being in love with Daphne and not having returned, and the transformation of her becoming the laurel tree being a big part of the story. This is the most popular myth, and it's from Ovid. All right, shall we flip a coin?
Yeah, so the coin it lands on is defending Apollo?
Yes.
Okay.
Did Apollo commit a crime against Daphne?
Okay.
Ready? Flip. Tails.
Oh, so I'm defending Apollo. Okay.
You're defending Apollo. All right.
Okay, so you go first. Okay.
All right. So obviously here we have the big thing is consent. Daphne is not consenting Apollo to touching her, to being with her, and Apollo continues to go after her anyway. Obviously not a cool thing. An illegal thing to do. Consent is incredibly important to a point where Daphne, and then he doesn't even stop when she changes herself into a tree and then he wears her. Her whole thing is that she does not want to be near Apollo. She doesn't want Apollo. She doesn't want Apollo to touch her. And he violates that every step of the way, even when she becomes a plant and she is forced to be stuck on his head as a crown for the rest of time. How is that not the most egregious crime? How is Apollo not? We should just kill him right now. Like, first crime, Apollo should die.
Okay. Is that your statement?
That is my statement. Do you have anything to say? Defense?
I would like to say I'd like to point out that your argument, it hinges on consent right now. But I would like to argue that Apollo did not consent to developing those feelings because Cupid shot Apollo with the arrow. So really, Cupid is the one who is responsible for all of this. Neither of them consented. Also, this was how laurel trees were created. And without the laurel tree, my book wouldn't exist. So you're trying to say that I shouldn't have a book?
Yeah, if you being able to have a book means that because a woman was violated and
well, Apollo was stolen, also violated.
Okay, but whenever a guy, okay, so a guy comes up to you and he says, a guy comes up to you and says, well, I can't control my feelings, the way I feel about you. Suddenly he has free reign to do whatever he wants to you because he can't control his feelings.
That's valid, but in this situation, it's magic feelings. It's not just like he thinks she's hot. It's Cupid magic feelings. So Cupid is the one who should be murdered.
Okay, fine. I'll twist the argument and say Cupid is not the one on trial here. Cupid is going to... He should be on trial for so many other things. Outing Nico, all those yeah. things that he did. But... this is Apollo's trial, so we're just focusing on Apollo's crime. Like, maybe he is a victim in a different sense, but that doesn't mean he gets to then become, you know, an attacker just because he was a victim first. That's not how life works. The law
so
of the law.
So are you saying that you hate love? So you hate Cupid?
Actually saying that I hate laurel trees as well.
I kind of like doing a straw man argument. It's kind of fun.
So stupid. Okay.
Can we just keep going? How do we move on? Listeners, you can vote.
Yeah, actually, no. You've heard the. Yeah. You've heard. Yeah, let's do that. You've heard your our arguments.
Yes.
One of them is, calling out Apollo for his egregious crimes against Daphne, who was just caught in the middle, just happened to be there. She could have been replaced by any other naiad. It's just unfortunate that she was in the situation. Apollo and Cupid should have duked it out themselves, but they involved an innocent woman. Or do you believe Erin's theory of she needs books?
I have to state my own theory. My theory that it is actually Cupid who is at fault here because Apollo also didn't consent to being shot with said arrow. Please vote. I know on Spotify you can put little polls if you're not a listener on Spotify. Well, we can also put polls on our Instagram. If you don't have Instagram or Spotify, I don't know, email
Twitter
us
polls?
Your thoughts. Know. Twitter polls, is that a thing? We don't. Mm-hmm. I'm not. We really don't have a lot of Twitter followers. That's where I'm not a millennial is Twitter usage.
All right. Our next crime against women, and we have Cassandra of Troy. Cassandra was the princess of Troy, younger sister to Hector. There are two versions of the myth. In both versions, Apollo is in love with the beautiful young princess. In one version, Cassandra offers herself to Apollo in exchange for the divine prophetic sight. After being given the powers, she decides to go back on her word, knowing that Apollo can't remove his divine gift. In another version of the myth, Apollo gives Cassandra the divine gift in order to woo her and is frustrated when it fails to work. The result is the same in both myths. Apollo curses Cassandra so that even though she can see the future, no one will believe her. She sees the fall of Troy, the murder of her entire family, and repeatedly tries to warn them all with no avail. She continues to have a horrible time throughout the war. She goes mad, is eventually raped, sold, and then murdered. But that doesn't have anything to do with Apollo, does it? All right, let's flip a coin. Let's see. It lands on heads. All right, let's hear you first. Erin is the prosecutor. I am the defense.
I feel like just in the story here, that is enough to show that he is guilty. he, no matter what version, just because she rejects him, he curses her to literally never to know what's going to happen and never be able to tell anyone. Nobody is able, nobody listens to her, nobody believes her. She ends up, as you said, she ends up going mad, is raped and sold and murdered throughout the war. Like, the entire fate of this war could have been changed had she, had people been able to listen to her warnings. And also, she's just yet another example of a woman traumatized because, and used as a pawn in the overarching, like, war and game the gods are playing.
All right, I have an argument here. First of all, are men not allowed to give gifts now? Is that what we're saying? Just because you don't like the gift means...
Oh, go on. Means what? Okay.
Just because you don't like the gift and it, like, causes you to go insane means it's the man's fault. He was trying to be nice. So it was okay. A little mean. All right. The other thing, are you really standing here and telling me that Cassandra, a woman in Troy, if she hadn't been cursed, would have been believed regardless? Like, please, like, things would have happened regardless. No woman is believed, especially in Troy.
Okay.
So how is this Apollo's fault?
Okay. Two counterpoints. A gift? You literally said it was a curse.
It was a gift at first.
But he turned it into a curse. That would curses be like, be I don't know, being like, here is a ring because I love you. And the person's like, sorry, I don't want it. And then he's
objection,
like,
this is a hypothetical
you.
Question. Like, she's telling stories now, Your Honor.
Okay. And also, while women were not believed, prophets were definitely, like, very much believed and worshipped in the ancient times, especially
a who's
prophet
believe
bestowed
she's a prophet?
With a gift from the god. Because
oh, so we're talking about gifts again.
The curse!
You're talking about gifts again. Now you want this gift just because Apollo's a little mad the second time he re-gifted the gift doesn't mean that it's not
it.
A value.
He didn't re-gift it. He changed it. Objection, I'm being interrupted. So my argument stands on the fact that her entire life was ruined because she said no to a man, God.
My objection is that the war was going to happen anyway because no one believes women. Mm-hmm. And we should actually, this trial should actually not be on Apollo. It should be on men who are not Apollo, who are not believing. Let's believe women. Let's start the...
But you just said that women won't be believed.
Yeah, so I think that we should fundamentally change that. How is that Apollo's fault?
Apollo doesn't... he literally cursed her so no one would believe her.
Maybe he didn't. You never know, because who would have believed her anyway?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Oh, right. So you can vote who won that one.
I feel like I'm on American Idol. I'm like, vote who you think won.
Call this
text
number.
Text 543.
All right. And also, just to remind people, Daphne and Cassandra were mentioned in The Trials of Apollo. Daphne was a main theme in the first book.
Yeah.
And Cassandra is mentioned that kind of off the side where Apollo kind of remembers what he did to her, obviously in a very PG way. He just... you know, was upset that she didn't love him back. And so he curses her. He feels kind of bad for it. So nothing else happens to her
feels
in that
bad.
Version. So feels bad. Mm-hmm. All right. Shall we talk about... so these are a little bit more subjective. So we have our next section, which is we call Further Romantic Failures. So Hyacinthus is our first character. Hyacinthus was a
this
prince
of Sparta.
This
is the gay section. Right?
This is honestly the gay section.
This, and it's like, you know, debated because people like to pretend people weren't gay ever.
Well, no, this is not the gay section because there was only one. There was more. So, by the way, there are a bunch
more
crimes.
Oh, one
of
them's a lady. Never mind.
Yes. Well, there are a bunch more crimes in each of these sections. We chose the two from each section that had the most information I could find, because a lot of these myths have like multiple different characters, interchangeable characters, depending on which author you're talking to. So I wanted us to be able to talk about it as much as it related to what we talked about with then the Percy Jackson universe. Mm-hmm. All right. So Hyacinthus. Hyacinthus was a prince of Sparta, and in some myths, he's the brother of Daphne because he likes, you know, Apollo keeps it in the family, and he's considered to be one of the most beautiful men in the world. He was admired and sought after by Apollo, Zephyrus, Boreas, who are the wind gods, and a mortal man named Thymaris. He chose Apollo because he thought Apollo was the hottest of the four of them, and they became boyfriends. Apollo was so in love with him, he actually abandons his post at Delphi to just hang out with his lover. He taught Hyacinthus how to play the lyre and how to use the bow. One day, they decide to play a friendly game of discus, and Apollo accidentally threw the disc so hard it broke the clouds. In some versions of the myth, a jealous and spited, like, wind god throws the discus back at Hyacinthus, killing him, or he, one of the versions is he accidentally bonks his head while going to get the disc. Also, the version that Rick goes after is when Apollo throws the discus, he is really angry, and also Boreas picks up the disc with his wind and throws it back at Hyacinthus. So it is Apollo's hand that kills him, but it is the wind that moves the disc. Apollo is so depressed, he asks Hades to kill him, but Hades refuses. Apollo then turns Hyacinthus into a plant. Hmm. All right, so this one is a little bit harder, I think,
yeah,
to see who's at fault. So we're flipping the coin. The defense is me. So,
okay,
Aaron, why should Apollo be...
I feel like
Apollo
both sides
be...
are kind of hard, okay?
Yeah.
So I would argue that Apollo should be held responsible for this because, first of all, it was his hand. He threw the disc. He knows his power. He loves making other gods mad and showing off his strength. He probably threw it that hard on purpose and was like, fuck you, wind god, and then it like got shot back. I would also argue that Hyacinthus, like, Apollo knows he has a history of things going poorly for his lovers. Daphne, who is allegedly Hyacinthus's brother also, or sister, also, that happened. And so he's just cursing this whole family. And I think that he should have known better than to get involved in this.
So your argument, first of all, objection, speculation, he probably wasn't, you don't know who was showing off. He's just playing a sport. So now men can't play sports with their boyfriends?
They can't, actually.
No. Apollo is just saying, it's not Apollo's fault that when given the option, Hyacinthus chose him. All these, the real villains here are the wind gods. Just because they were spited and, you know, pushed aside for Apollo doesn't mean they have the right to then kill the boy. Also, are you saying that just because Apollo has had bad relationships in the past, he's not allowed to find new love? Like, he should just be celibate for the rest of his life? He found love and he loved this man so much. And for the first time in Apollo's life, he asks for consent. It's crazy.
It's true. He did learn. But I lost my train of thought. Hold on. It's coming.
You can also end it there. This one's a hard one.
Yeah. 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 I had a thought, though. I swear.
Okay. So that one is a pretty subjective one. Do you think Apollo is in, like... Is it his fault that his lover died just because the wind picked up the disc? Should he have known better? Should he probably leave that family alone? Let us know. Vote below.
Vote below. No.
All right. Our next crime, and this one's a little rougher, is Leucates. So this is a rough one. Leucates is also known as Chione, was a beautiful lady. She's a mortal lady. Hermes and Apollo both had their eyes on her. Hermes used a sleeping spell on her, and then he rapes her. Later that same night, Apollo disguises himself as an old woman and sleeps with her, which is, it's very vague if it's consensual or not. Also, why an old lady? All we know is in the primary text, Apollo just disguises himself as an old lady and lies with her. Leucates becomes pregnant with twins, with each being the father of one of the gods. Later, she is boasting that two gods had slept with her. She must be even more beautiful than Artemis. So Artemis kills her with a bow and arrow.
And we're trying Apollo for this?
No, we're trying Apollo for this.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Let's flip a coin. Who is the defense? Aaron is defending. I am the prosecutor. Okay. Okay. So Chione's clearly had a rough day of it. You know, she's already dealt with Hermes. Hermes has violated her. No consent. Apollo, it's also the line of consent is unclear because Apollo doesn't appear as himself. Why is he an old woman unless he's trying to be shady? We don't even know if Chione's awake when this happens. Just because, like, why is this not, like, take her out, wine and dine her. This is not okay. Artemis is also Apollo's twin. He has no control over, you know, standing up. He's a god. He can stand up and protect the mother of his child, whom he disguised himself as an old lady to be with. He has failed on multiple accounts of this woman. This mortal woman who's just existing and being beautiful. That was her only crime. His crime is rape and manslaughter. So, you know, good luck defending that.
Okay. Well, first of all, he did not do the killing. He is not... We're not trying him with manslaughter for this one, allegedly. And second, it is not clear if it was consensual. So for all we know, my client tells me here, actually, that he became an old lady because that's what she wanted. And so you're saying that you hate gay people by saying that this is not okay. And that is what happened, he told me himself.
Okay, no, first of all, like, the word disguise himself as an old woman to just to lie with her, like,
it, so she wouldn't know it was a god.
But why is he, that's, I know there's a legal term for it, but that's lying, and that's wrong. That's a misrepresentation. Are you, like, shuffling through your notes?
No, playing with a box.
That's misrepresentation. He lied to my client, who is obviously, well, the state of Washington, dead. I guess, who is dead, and he tricked her. She's traumatized. She's had a rough night. He went after a victim with PTSD the same night that she was raped by Hermes. That is, first of all, very insensitive and weird and shitty, and he should die.
I don't know how to argue with that. Any of the ones where it's like he murdered or raped her, I'm like, yeah, kill him.
Yeah, kill him. I'll actually throw the first stone. Yeah,
I'll do it, yeah.
Well, if you think Apollo is actually not, this is not his fault that Leucates died, you should say that, side with the defense. If he, you know, committed crimes here egregiously and knowingly, side with me, the correct side. Okay, next section.
Wow.
So now we get into a really fun part of murder.
Woo!
So our first trial that Apollo will be put on is killing all the Cyclops. This was mentioned in Trials of Apollo when Apollo is reflecting on his own retaliation of getting angry with Zeus and what Zeus does. And he's a little sad about killing all the Cyclops, but he's not too sad about it. He never is truly depressed about it, except for Hyacinthus. Hyacinthus one, like, haunts him throughout Trials of Apollo.
Yeah. And Daphne.
I
think, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's because Daphne, like, haunts him personally.
Literally.
Which is good for her. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Killing all the Cyclops. Apollo's son was Asclepius, who was very talented at healing. He started healing people so well that less people started dying, which upset Hades and the order of the world. In retaliation for not obeying God's will, Zeus sends a lightning bolt down and kills Asclepius. Why can't I ever know what his name is? Asclepius?
Just call him Ass.
Ass. Sorry. Zeus sends a lightning bolt down and kills Asclepius. Apollo is devastated and kills the creator of the lightning bolt, the Cyclops. Zeus punishes Apollo by making him mortal and sending him to Earth to serve a king.
Nice. All right. Sounds familiar. Meg is the king.
Flipping the coin. I am the defense. Okie dokes. Erin, take it away.
Okay. Well, regardless of what motivated Apollo to do this, regardless of Zeus's actions of killing Asclepius, Apollo still went and killed an entire species, the Cyclops, simply for doing their job. They create the lightning bolt. It is Zeus who uses the lightning bolts. Like, the Cyclops are just doing what Zeus tells them to do because Zeus will probably punish them if they don't. And Apollo takes out all of his anger and rage on the Cyclops instead of the actual person who he's mad at, Zeus, and therefore sets the Cyclops population back generations.
So, Erin, are you saying that guns don't kill people, people kill people? Because the Cyclops are creating weapons. Cyclops themselves are the weapons here. And Apollo destroyed the source of Zeus's misdeed and his evil. Apollo's son was killed by Zeus by a lightning bolt. He was seeking it. Also, let's remember that Apollo already got punished for this. He got turned into a mortal. He had to, like, run behind a king doing God knows what. I don't think it's fair. Like, I'm sure the Cyclops are fine. Zeus probably made them, you know, alive again. Because he needs more workers for his lightning bolt.
Okay. Okay. So the lightning bolts. So you're saying that the lightning bolts, by killing the makers of the lightning bolts, that's actually justified. Yet Zeus can also make he can do anything he wants. He can also make lightning bolts. He was the one who used the lightning bolts. And so it's not that maybe I am saying that people kill people with guns with lightning bolts. But Zeus would just make more.
No, he can't. He needs the Cyclops to make lightning bolts. So that's why he just brings them back to life. Like, Apollo gets his frustration out. It's unfortunate. But Zeus brought them back to life, probably, because he needs more lightning bolts in his lightning bolt factory.
Probably. Objection.
You know what the problem is facts? Here? Zeus, it's actually the Cyclops' fault for not unionizing against Zeus. They should have asked to be removed from this narrative.
Well, how do we don't know that Zeus allows for unionizing, so you are putting the blame on the poor workers. These are like blue collar workers here that you are saying are responsible, who deserved to die.
He already served out his time. Zeus punished Apollo appropriately, and if you think Zeus can do whatever he wants and he's the supreme, I can't believe I'm quoting you here, but you say, I love Zeus, he's the best person I know.
Oh, how God
of
that?
Everybody. Yeah, I'm quoting you.
Oh, okay. Zeus. Objection. Zeus is... This is slander and libel.
Zeus already created a punishment for Apollo he thought was best. And like you said, again, I'm quoting you, Zeus knows best.
Zeus knows best. Erin.
Yeah.
Not. Okay, well, let's give it to the people to decide if Apollo is guilty of murdering all the Cyclops, or, you know, if apparently they all deserved it simply because they were doing their jobs.
All right, so next we have Marsyas. Marsyas was an expert flute player who challenged Apollo to a music contest in front of all 9 muses and King Midas. There's different myths on who was available and present at the time of this competition, but King Midas for sure, because we have our next trial is about him and what happens after this competition. The agreement was the winner could do anything they wanted to the loser. Marsyas plays the flute excellently well, but Apollo is more talented at the lyre, being able to play it multiple ways and even adding his singing voice into it. The muses declare Apollo the victor. So Apollo gets to do whatever he wants to Marsyas, so he flays him alive and then pins his skin on a pine tree, later making his skin into a wineskin for drinking.
Mm.
All right, let's see who is what. Who is the defense? Flipping the coin. Aaron, you're defending Apollo here.
Okay.
All right, so I think we need to talk about what's the term? Give me a second.
Mm-hmm. Objection. She's not allowed to think.
Well, obviously, when the winner can do whatever they want to the loser, needs to be exercised mm-hmm. some caution. Marsyas is immortal. Apollo is a god. Marsyas definitely meant it in a kinky way. Apollo took it really creepily.
This is what? Speculation.
What? What is the matching of losing a competition? Losing this, you lost American Idol, right? So we have Adam Levine, and who was your favorite person on American Idol?
Chris Humphries. Don't bring this up. No.
What was his name?
Chris Allen.
Chris
don't
Allen.
Don't bring up my dark past. It wasn't Adam Levine either. It was Adam Lambert.
Oh, Adam Lambert.
Adam Levine is Maroon 5.
You're totally right. Adam Lambert and Chris Allen wins American Idol. He does not need to, he does not have the right to flay Adam Lambert alive and make his skin into wine drinking. Like, that's an insane reaction. Apollo's reaction was unjust and over the top for whatever the agreement they had made. Marsyas just was mediocre at the flute. He shouldn't be turned into, you know, flayed alive. Kill him first. Like, why does it need to be so violent? Apollo's clearly unhinged and should be behind bars for the safety of society. Thank you, Your Honor.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would argue that my client here is innocent because it was all in the contract that they agreed to. They agreed that the winner could do anything they wanted to the loser. It was not stated that it had to be in a kinky way. It could be anything. So murder was very much on the table, and his actions are protected because he did anything he wanted to Marsyas. And Marsyas agreed to that when he decided to compete with a god in a contest. He knew the stakes were very high. Because gods kill people all the time. So, it was in the contract.
But, you know, Marsyas thought he was a better flute player. And he's an excellent flute player. He did not know you can also sing. That was not part of the competition. Apollo just adds his singing. Also, the fact that Apollo can play his lyre upside down shouldn't make him a better lyre player. It just means that he can play a lyre, not a flute.
Well, this is on the judges. The muses declared Apollo more talented. Apollo was just doing what he could to win American Idol.
All right. Do you think that the runner-up of American Idol should be flayed alive? Please call, like, vote below.
Oh, God.
All right. Our second-to-last section before we get into our more impromptu section is disfigurement. We have one section here, and we have turning Midas's ears into donkey ears. So in the same story we just talked about where Marsyas, and some say it was Pan who was in the competition. Sometimes it's like not even the same competition, but a different competition with Pan and Apollo doing a music competition. Anyway, Midas does not choose Apollo as the victor. He prefers the flute. In anger, Apollo says that he must have the ears of an ass, so he turns Midas's ears into donkey ears. Midas tries to keep his ears a secret, but his barber eventually gets the secret out by whispering it into a hole in the ground where reed pipes grow, and they basically whisper the secret into the air. So, you know, his entire kingdom is whispering, Midas has ears of an ass. So Midas then commits suicide after being bullied.
Wow.
All right, let's see who is defending Apollo here. Me. All right, Aaron.
Okay, well, Apollo disfigures a man. This was not in any kind of contract. Midas just was voicing his opinion. He said, oh, you know, I prefer the flute. And Apollo was like, you have the ears of a donkey now. He disfigured this man's body. And this led to so much bullying that this man then committed suicide. So not only is Apollo guilty of disfiguring a man, he also, his actions led to this man's death as well. He spread mean things about this man that caused him to feel bad.
Is it Apollo's fault that Midas cannot pull off donkey ears? Is that what, like, Apollo gave him, again, a gift, which was donkey ears, because if you like the flute, which nobody else did, over Apollo's lyre, you must have ears of an ass. He made a funny joke. You know, like, you, are we punishing people for being funny now?
Mm-hmm. Name a man. You said he can't pull off donkey ears. Name a man who can pull off donkey ears.
All men already have donkey ears. They already have ears of an ass. You know, just because Midas was the one who had it first doesn't mean that he gets to go cry boo-hoo. Also, it's not Apollo's fault that Midas's barber couldn't keep a secret and also Reed Pipes decided to whisper it to the entire kingdom. Mm-hmm. Apollo has no control over that. He just had control over the ears, and he was just making a funny joke and stating a fact.
A permanent joke that disfigured this man's face. Head.
We don't know if it was permanent because Midas killed himself, so we don't know how long the ears would have lasted.
Well, Apollo sure implied that they were permanent within his anger.
All right, do we think that Apollo should go to jail for disfigurement just because Midas has poor music taste? Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Vote.
Vote, please.
All right, our last section we have are subjective crimes. Each of us are going to talk a little bit about why we think these are things that Apollo should have the death penalty for. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the first one is bursting into song. We don't need that. I don't need to read about him bursting into song every time he walks into a room. He doesn't need to be singing popular songs. He thinks he's a good singer. That's fine by him. But I did not ask for an impromptu musical. I did not ask for my life to be High School Musical 2. I don't That's fair. Need this.
I would argue, in defense of bursting into song, we do have, you know, where would we be without Glee as a society?
Probably better,
where would we be
honestly.
Without High School Musical, you know?
That's fair. That is fair. But I want that on my TV. I want that when I'm trying, like, Apollo bursting into song and never carrying a weapon with himself because he has the Sound of Music, like, so irresponsible.
Where would we be without the Sound of Music?
Okay. Apollo created healthcare. But he made it difficult. He also probably created syphilis. So, you know, I think that Apollo is pretty shitty. So,
yeah. On that subject, he created plagues. And so that he probably created COVID. He probably created, there's a dog virus going around right now. He probably did that. And for that,
dogs.
He should fucking die.
Yeah.
Also, sunburns. He's the god of the sun. Sunburns, like heat waves, people die from heat waves and from dehydration. That's his fault.
He should make the sun a little less strong.
Yeah, I sort of feel like I'm going to get like spited right now by him.
I know, just like struck by lightning.
Yeah, that's Zeus, don't worry. Well, Apollo got rid of that with the Cyclops, so.
But yeah, and also Apollo clearly goes after people who don't give him what he wants. All right, so like, I mean, all in all, this was a fun, but at the same time, it's kind of a rough reminder that Apollo is, all the gods are shitty.
Yeah, they're pretty bad.
Apollo is pretty rough, and like mythology itself making, you know, women the punchline and mortals the punchline constantly was, it's kind of rough and kind of reflective of the society at the time that they were like, these are funny stories. They teach us lessons.
It is interesting. I was thinking about this, like, while thinking about this episode, that I still do think Rick's choice of doing, like, Apollo as the POV was probably the best one out of all the male gods. Like, for the purpose of this book, to have a god that, or the series, to have a god that starts as like pretty terrible but still has an arc where you actually are rooting for him in the end, because Zeus no one would ever root for. Hermes, like, too much of a bad look in PJO. Like, I just think, like, with Luke and everything, I'm like, Hermes need, like, we don't want to deal with his trauma about Luke, you know? Poseidon too, like, he would just bring Percy back into it. We don't need that. Hades would just bring Nico in. Like, you know, like, the big three are too powerful to really, like, have that same kind of arc, because they're going to get back into power and do terrible things. I feel like Hephaestus would have been interesting, but he's not as personable, you know, as a narrator in the way that Rick has characterized him.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I still think Apollo was, like, a good choice to write this book. But it's definitely a bold choice, in the sense that, like, writing any book from the POV of a god, like, they've all done such bad things, and making it a kid's book too.
And then also, like, damn. Rick is trying to not, because he's included almost every myth when he talks about PJO and everything like that. So there are already references to some of the bad shit in order for some of the myths to exist too, that we've seen in previous books. Mm-hmm. Apollo has had to do these bad things. And so Rick has to not only have his character acknowledge them, but then feel bad for them for doing it in a way that we then feel satisfied that he feels bad enough that we can then continue to root for him, which is a hard thing to do.
Yeah. Like, he said, he gave himself quite the challenge in writing a book like this. And I actually think he did it. Like, it's a very hard thing to do with pre-existing gods that people already have, like, opinions and thoughts on, and a pre-existing, like, world he's created where all of these gods have already shown up and they've all kind of looked like assholes except for, like, Hestia. It's kudos to Rick, honestly, for making me root for Apollo.
Yeah, because one of the more powerful tools that Rick has is that his main heroes are the demigods who you feel bad for on every side because they're neglected. Like, having that difficult relationship with the parent, their children, they have these powers that they never asked for and all these responsibilities they didn't ask for and, like, no help at all.
Yep.
And then you have Apollo, who's like, he made his own bed. He's done crimes. He's not a very nice person to start off with. He doesn't care about anybody else. But he has at least that similar connection of, like, not having a family, having a difficult relationship with a parent. So I think that was, like, a good one to for Rich. The only one I think I would do, I know, like, his character, like you said, his characterization wasn't, like, as personable, but Hephaestus would have been a great character to see just, like, be really upset with Zeus. But I don't know if Zeus would go out of his way to punish Hephaestus.
Yeah, and I think Hephaestus, the way he's characterized in Percy Jackson, like, he's not as personable, but he's definitely one of the more, like, likable gods. Like, he hasn't really, as far as I remember, done anything wrong other than, you know, being upholding the system that Zeus has, but he never, like, does anything, like, one-on-one or interacting with any of the demigods that's really, like, questionable. And so, like,
up more for Leo than Zeus does for Jason, and even Poseidon does for Percy.
Exactly.
He also goes and meets up with Calypso and gives her information about what's going on in the world, gives her tools that she can use on her island. Like, he checks in on her when everyone else has forgotten about her.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So he would have been kind of redeemable, but I don't think there would be much of a story because Apollo is still searching for that approval, where Hephaestus is not. Hephaestus wants nothing to do with Zeus and Hera.
Exactly.
Well, you know, that's a great way for us to wrap up, you know, Trials of Apollo. The next thing we're going to be doing is the Percy Jackson TV show.
We're so excited. So this episode comes out on the 11th, I believe, of December. And so we are going to have, like, a mini bonus episode later in the week. TBD, probably the 14th. To talk about some of the press stuff coming out, and we're excited to chat with you all about some stuff that we get to go to. And then we'll start the show. We'll start coming out. It comes out the 20th of December. So after that, we'll start recapping the show with you all.
And we'll kind of revisit our old book thoughts of PJO. It's going to be exciting to see that. So see how we've grown in the last 3 years, if any of our opinions have changed.
I hope so.
I hope so too. All right, as usual, you can find us on social media. We are at Camp Half Pod on most social media, or email us camphalfpod@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you can, and the link to join our Patreon and the link to send an audio message, it's all in the description of the episode. So you can find that there.
So we'll see you next time. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.
Guilty.